friend, welcome Carm Capriotto with a special recording from Vision 2020. Now, you know, I love setting up my studio at events like Vision, and here's another interview with a change of perspective. In the advent of online gaming and sports, our guest today has a different approach in engaging people and customers in our industry. It's through gamification, the experience, and setting a goal-oriented focus that customers want to come back to. Let's learn more about this. I'm with Kent Bullard, and here's a taste.
So your game should allow for fun experimentation so that the players, say your service advisor is like, hey, I know that I have to call them within this timeline and I have to use this script and this is what I need to target with them. What if I did it a different way?
Hey, good day, Carm Capriotto, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast guy, always in pursuit of excellence and quality content. And we are consistently helping you develop and upgrade into a better leader with insights in being stronger than you were just yesterday as we engage our industry amidst the COVID-19 crisis. Hey, you know, life as we know it has clearly changed, but the key to staying ahead, we'll be joining your community at Apex 2020 to reconnect. Now, we're in it together, we all know that, and together we'll move ahead. The dates for Apex, November 3rd through the 5th at the Sands Expo and Caesars Forum Conference Center in Las Vegas. A perfect, perfect time to reconnect. Hey, register now, AAPEXshow.com. If you're new to the podcast, welcome, glad to have you here. You should know we produce another great and important resource, the original single subject forum called the Town Hall Academy. We air it live every Friday on Facebook at noon Eastern Time, and it's repurposed as a podcast to the World Wide Web the following Thursday. A fantastic resource for everything aftermarket and for the perpetual student. And look, please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening app, and if you need to see options for a great app, go to remarkableresults.biz/subscribe. Hey, in this episode, I'm with Kent Bullard from the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence, who's bringing some very unique, innovative, and imaginative ideas as we approach clients through a gaming perspective. Some gamification strategies are way beyond the traditional norm, but their platform is a success in the recent decade due to a single main objective, the user experience. Now, if you have it, people will always get back to you for more. This is what Kent is trying to incorporate into the industry, being more proactive to the needs of the customer, being goal-oriented, and having fun doing it. Hey, find the talking points for a great meeting agenda at remarkableresults.biz/E534. That's the show page. Now let's go level up and earn some gamification gold. Hey, warm welcome to Kent Bullard. You've probably heard his dad on the show here. Oh my God, how many times have your dad's been on the show?
Dozens?
20 times, maybe dozens of times over the last 5 years, and I so appreciate what Cecil has given to the audience, and now I have number one son?
Number two.
But you're always striving to be number one.
I really am number one. You know, let's just...
okay, just
my brother asks.
Don't let your brother hear this. So we're here at Vision 2020. This interview took us a year to put together.
Yeah, I know.
Don't ask me why, but you stopped by the studio last year and you said, yeah, we're doing some things with gamification. And I said, talk to me. And he did. And I never forgot about it. I kind of wrote it down. And then, I don't know how you or I just hooked up in the last month. And I said, hey, let's finally just sit down and do this. Before we turn the mics on, Kent gave me an idea of what we're going to talk about. And let me encourage you not to go anywhere. And if you're on a short commute and you want to keep listening, make sure you continue, because you may just find a new and cool way to do different things inside of your business that you never thought of before. So, gamification, what is it, Kent?
So, and we kind of touched on this before we turned the mics on, but gamification, a lot of people think it's making something fun or making something like a game, which kind of is, but the main focus is changing behavior and really overall designing an experience, right? That's really what we are doing as business owners, what we're doing even as in our marketing. How do we engage people in a more creative, more exciting, more effective way? Using game theory and game mechanics to things that aren't inherently games, right? So people do think it's, we input a point system and there we go, we're good to go. And that's not the case. You can actually push people away doing that.
Got it.
It just depends on how it's used.
So you've done a lot of thinking on this, developing on this, and you created something called the Big E's, and E is it's the letter E. And I'm pretty darn impressed with this list. And I think as you walk over and explain these Big E's, I think the listener will start slowly recognizing.
Starting to understand.
Understand and how they could actually implement it. And then Kent's at the end of this show, Kent has a story to tell you on how Tom Lambert, who's been on the show before from Shade Tree, did this exact thing. And it's brilliant. By the way, it's just brilliant. So let's go at it. Tell me about the Big E's.
So the Big E's, building effective gamification. When you're designing a game or designing an experience, you have to take a couple things into account, right? First off, a lot of people think that you want to be goal-oriented. And that's, in fact, in my management class that I'm writing, I don't want to focus on goal orientation. I want to focus on process orientation, right? How is the experience, not the outcome, right? We don't want to be outcome focused. We want to be engagement focused. We want to be action focused. What's actually happening within our system here? So as on the plane, I was kind of writing these out. One of the first things you want to focus on building effective gamification is your environment. How well does this environmental design translate into the action I want? Where do people fit in with this environment? What kind of things am I putting there that will trigger certain experiences here?
So it's not physical plant, the environment that we work and live in.
So it's both. So you can have physical triggers. You can have, say a customer's going into a store, going into your shop, right? One of the first things that they do, and this isn't one of the first things, but one of the first things they do is they open a door, right? Mm-hmm. Or you have an automatic door that opens as they walk in.
Or you open it for them.
That's one of your events, and we'll talk about events in a minute here. One of the other biggies.
Yeah.
But on the other side, what is the experience? What does the environment look like for your service advisor? Do you have a big plasma screen that's in front of them that's playing a bunch of commercials for other repair shops or auto parts solutions, or just, you know, maybe you've got Comedy Central up on the TV? What is the environment translating into experience for your service advisor? Is it distracting them or is it focusing them? One of the things that we do is we teach service advisors to put a mirror somewhere on their desk.
Yeah.
So in near the phone. So when they answer the phone, they can see themselves smiling. That's an example of environmental design.
What I think I'm learning from this, and that I want our audience to we're not creating a game, but all of these Big E's is what that experiential works, how you are cleverly designing for not only your own people, but your customer in the behavioral change you're looking to get from them. And it's almost like I am deliberately doing all of these very incredible, the details, like you say, the plasma TV, the open door, and all the, I mean, we're getting into the atoms on this.
And that's the beginning, right? If you're looking at video game design, if you were to take a video game class where they talk about development and all that, they'll actually start with the mechanics. What does the gameplay feel like? How do people play this game?
Really?
Because
you've taken that course?
I've taken multiple online courses for various things.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
That explains it. Yeah.
Okay. Attaboy. But they'll start with how does the mechanics work on your game?
All right.
Right? They don't talk about environment. However, in our case, we're already working with something that's built. We have an environment. You have a shop. You have staff. So you now have to build off of what's already existing. Right. So it's important to focus on your environment first to say, okay, what are the things that I'm putting these players into? Okay. Where am I putting these players to engage with my game? Okay. Right? So yeah, environment. First and foremost. Next is the gameplay. Engagement. What, how, where, when do people interact with my game? How are they interacting with other players? What are the rules of play? And we go back to kind of this engagement loop, right? So a lot of video games will start off with a tutorial, kind of tell you how you're supposed to play. Then they'll present you with some kind of a small challenge where you can test what they taught you. And then they'll reward you for your attempt, whether you failed or succeeded. Okay. Usually if you succeeded, it's a better reward. Yeah. So these can be entirely complex systems, right? So if you're talking about instruction, hey, you're going to come visit us, you're going to purchase service from us, we're going to repair your vehicle, do the whole rigmarole, you pay for the service, and then you leave, that could be considered an engagement loop. Or an engagement loop could be they walk up to the front door and the door opens for them saying, hey, welcome to our shop. And you walk in and you get greeted with the smell of cookies. That's another form of, hey, here's instruction, come in. Here's the challenge. You need to walk in through the door, and here's a reward. It's a smell of cookies.
These are the details to create an exceptional customer experience.
Exactly.
These are the details. Okay.
Now, if we're talking about rules of play, right? These can be, and this is where you can get kind of creative. So before we get lost in the minutiae of it, it's simply you can put restrictions on things, and I call them restrictions. I like the word restrictions because that means that you can either take them or put them, right? So say you've had somebody come and they drop off their car, right? They said they had X issue and you said your tech is going to do a diagnostic and you'll call them back. We've got now the chance to put in a time constraint for our employee, for our service advisor, okay, right? Yeah. How quickly do they need to call that customer back? Or what's the time limit here, right? Is it they're going to kind of do it when they feel like it? Or is it something where, hey, once we know, we told them we're going to have a call at noon, we're going to end up calling them at 11:45 with diagnostic. We want to be 15 minutes beforehand. So that's just an example of one restraint. They have to do this. If the service advisor can get most of their calls in within that realm that you've said this is the rule, then there's a certain reward that you give them.
I can't help but think that all of these tactics, if you will, that you're designing is part of the process of the business.
It is.
Okay.
Right. So, and that's, they all add up to the experience, the overall experience. And that, like I said, that could be for your customer, it could be for your employees, it could be for you, right?
I love the connotation of gamification, though. I love it in the back of the mind. And it's not necessarily fun, but it is deliberately designed. It's just deliberately designed.
So just an example of restrictions. So a little while ago, before I got married, I had to save some money, right? And I'm like, how am I going to save enough money for this wedding? So I kind of gave myself these restrictions. I can only spend so much. I have a limit this week. I can only spend this much on whatever, all of that. So just this fun little story. I have to get dinner for me and my son. I only end up having $11 left out of this budget that I've given myself. And $11 isn't much. So I started going, okay, how can we make this fun, right? And I've got my son with me and I go, okay,
what? I know, a Chinese lunch special.
So I go, Boston, how can we make this fun? What do we need for dinner? Right. And he goes, well, we have to have a vegetable. I'm like, okay, crap. So we write it down. Have to have vegetable. And he goes, we have to have, you know, I kind of want hot dogs. I'm like, okay, hot dogs. I can work with hot dogs. Okay. And we kind of go through this list of things that we wanted for dinner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this with $11? We need a bun. We need hot dogs. We need a vegetable. And I'm like, okay, it is $5.50 now. Right. We got to get to the store. We have $11. And I said, let's make this more interesting. We have 10 minutes in the store. And I tell my son, we've got 10 minutes. I need you to find these items. And he goes, okay, awesome. So we go in, we've got 10 minutes. We have to go in, get our stuff and get out. And some of them were like, I didn't even want to spend $11. I wanted some dollars left over. So I'm like, let's do it with eight. Right. So we further restrict this $10. I ended up getting like a can of chili. So we had chili dogs with cheese. And
how many hot dogs did you buy? A pack of six, like?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you buy a package of buns or single buns?
I think we ended up buying like a hoagie.
Oh, cool.
Like a long hoagie and cut it up.
I'm sorry, listener. I'm just so darn curious here.
But that's just one fun way to turn gamification into something that's applicable. Yeah. It could have just been we went to like McDonald's and got like a $5 kids meal and whatever.
Yeah,
and
some happy meals. Yeah.
That's not fun.
No.
But now I had this experience with my son where we actually had fun going to the store, dealing with a budget, and it turned it into this little game. We ended up with like $4 left. I think we actually went under budget.
Nice job.
Right?
He learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. He loves it. He's like, can we play a game? Can we turn this into a game? I'm like, yeah, of course. Let's do it.
Hey, this year Apex will be more of an aftermarket homecoming celebration than ever before. Not only will it have all kinds of exciting new things waiting for you, but most importantly, Apex 2020 will be where industry colleagues, friends, and family reunite after this time apart, and together it will drive the industry forward. I know I'm looking forward to it more than I ever have because I get to see all of you. Until we get there, keep yourselves and your families and your businesses healthy and safe. Now, there's no place like home, and we can't wait to welcome you home in November at Apex 2020. The power of being there, November 3rd through the 5th at the Sands Expo and Caesars Forum Conference Center in Las Vegas. Register now at AAPEXshow.com.
So when you're talking about the rules of play, it's really about how do we get the best experience here? And they kind of align with your primary goals, right? So if you want more customers in your shop, right? That's outcome based.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So you're like, I want 50 new customers. That's outcome based. You need to think about what the experience would be. So when people do come in, how can we give them such an experience that they want to tell other people, or they want to come back more often, or and give them something that's quality that they go, man, I want to play that again. So you go in and create a system.
Not just play that again, but be there again.
Exactly. Right. How do I get that experience again?
Yeah.
Which translates into effect, which is, I think, our next E.
Yeah.
Effect. What are people... What are the possible outcomes and the possible actions that a player can take or make during their experience? So now we're further defining this. And this is kind of the illusion of choice. So video games. Minute.
Now it's in the player's hands. Is that what you're saying?
Yes and no.
Okay.
If we're talking about environmental design, a lot of good design, say you go up to a door and the door has a long bar across it. That's telling you that the door should be pushed. And without knowing, you should just walk through the door.
Right.
Whereas if you go up to a door and there's a handle with a knob, you know, I have to turn the knob and pull it open before I walk through. That's a good design will tell you exactly how that thing should be used. It's not hard to pick up Angry Birds and play Angry Birds. It just shows you how to play it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of game designers do this, right? How do they make such an experience where you come and you can just start playing?
Right.
You don't have to ask too many questions. It doesn't have to be too convoluted that you don't understand how to play. The environment itself should lead into...
intuitive, comfortable environment. I feel like I'm at home.
You added this. My example was, do they open the door? Do they walk through a door that opens for them? Mm-hmm. But you added having someone open the door for them, yeah. Greeting them.
Yeah.
I love that. That's an experience, right?
Yeah.
And that intuitively tells them, hey, come on in. You know, they don't have to think about it. They can just...
You know, I've heard so many people on the show say, hey, when they pull up, we purposely make sure they park in front. We run their license plate just in case we haven't seen them for a while. We save their names, the family names. So when we try to greet them at the door or open the door and says, hey, Charlie, good to see you again. Glad you're here. And wow, that just sets an unbelievable tone.
It does. So coming to effect, thinking about outcome. Right. I want 50 new customers. When I talk about the illusion of choice, video games are just that. They're an illusion of choice. If you play a video game, every possible outcome has already been determined by the game designers. Mm-hmm. So if you pull the slingshot back on Angry Birds, the degrees that you can angle it at, how fast it goes, how far it goes, has already been determined by the game developer. They know what can happen. Mm-hmm. They've already built the system that explains what can happen. Mm-hmm. That's what we'd like to do in our businesses, is how can we simplify so that there's only a set of outcomes that we know will happen based on actions.
That's a great strategy. We know the outcome.
Exactly. Yeah. So if customer comes in, here's the three or four things that they can do, mm-hmm. right? And we try to minimize it to those things because then we can control those things. And that further allows us to design our experience, right? If a customer walks in and there's three service advisors, two of them are on the phone and one of them isn't, but he's on the computer, who do I go to, right? What is this telling me? Or they come in, there's two service advisors on the phone and there's a service advisor who has a green light and is looking up at you. Who are you going to go to? That's just a small thing. Okay, what is my choice? I've got three advisors I can talk to. What's the choice I'm going to make? Oh, here's the obvious choice. So that's just a way you can kind of start to control what's my action versus outcome. And then immersion. So I want to get through the, I don't want to get too convoluted.
By the way, this is the fourth E, immersion.
I think I wrote like nine.
Yeah.
Is there nine?
You didn't stop. I thought you were going to run out of E words, really.
I was getting creative.
Hey, I want to remind everyone I'm with Kent Bullard from the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence. And I hate to say this, but I will again, Cecil's son, Kent. And
that's okay.
Everybody knows your dad.
His name gives me street cred. So
good for you. And we're talking about gamification.
So immersion is how am I continually convincing my players to keep playing? How easy is it for them to play the game as well as remember to play the game or fall back into play?
Yeah.
And I just use Angry Birds as an example because everybody has played or does play Angry Birds. A lot of those games will hit you with notifications. It's like, hey, you haven't played in a minute, you know? So you click the little icon and it actually drops you right back in to a match of Angry Birds where you can start playing right where you left off. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of just small things that convince you to continue playing. So it could be that you hit them up with your marketing, right? They've already been to you once. So you know, you've got their email, their number, their address, whatever information, and you kind of target them and say, hey, we know that they did this on their car, right? So why don't we just hit them with some advertising or even a call and saying, hey, how are you doing? We've got this service coming up. We know that you still had this on your car, you know, kind of a touch point to just say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Let me remind you that there's this game here that you can play where you come and you have a really nice experience and you enjoy being here. And that also kind of comes into when they are there, how do we make it as easy to play the game as possible? So it's not stressful. They're not worried about being able to pay for their car. They're not worried about where they're going afterwards. You've got a shuttle, or you've got rental cars, or you've got financing that helps them pay for their stuff. Any way to make it easier for them to have a good experience there than a bad one, so that when you do call them afterwards and you give them that notification that's saying, hey, come play us again, they're like, oh yeah, I really enjoyed that. I should come by.
Where have you been?
Where have you been? What
Where
are you doing?
Been?
You know?
Yeah, we missed you. Come on in, deep end of the pool.
And even when they're there, you know, how can they say, hey, I played this really fun game, you know, to one of their friends, you should try playing this game. And what I mean by playing this game is going to your business, spending time in your shop.
Okay. It's a good analogy. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Come in and play our game. Be with us. How about evolution?
Evolution. So this is where things get complicated. If they didn't sound complicated already.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, I got to get a different mindset going on. Okay. Do me here.
So in everything that I do, I try to find the simplest solution. That's usually the easiest, right? So you talk about doing things like this engagement loop. Make it as simple and bite-sized as possible. When you're starting to develop a game, say like a game of tic-tac-toe, simple mechanics, right? They didn't need to change the rules to tic-tac-toe. It was a pretty simple game to begin with. But if they wanted to, you've got a good, fun, simple base to start from. And then maybe there's a rule where you can only, you know, put an X to an adjacent O. It has to be to the right of an O or to the bottom of an O. And you could start to add new things to your process. For those gamers out there who do play games, if you look at Fortnite's a huge success. But they started simple. In fact, they actually started as like an open source. So you basically give them money to finish developing their game and they'll let you play the version that they've got developed mm-hmm. already. Mm-hmm. That's how Fortnite started. But yeah. They started simple and then they started to add new things and they had seasons and then they had weird instances that happened in the game world that they're playing. But it all started very, very simply. So when you start to implement gamification, right, be as simple as you can. And once you know that that is an enjoyable experience that works really well, then add another piece to it.
Got it. So fix it before it breaks, maybe? Or maybe, you know, because I'm always, that's a continuous that's a continuous improvement and attitude, mentality.
And the thing is, you should always be evolving.
Yeah.
Because humans are easily bored.
It sounds like a no-brainer element of the of gamification evolution, because you're right. If businesses don't evolve, we're forced to evolve if we like it or not. We've got to embrace change.
And especially in the world that we live in today, people get bored so easily. Yeah. That's why you've got, you know, Instagram updates every few months, Facebook updates every other month. Yeah. you've got new shows, new media, new stuff.
Yeah, it's right? like they're doing something different. Wait, the screen looks different. I mean, they're making me be aware.
Yeah, you even buy new clothes, you know, just for the sake of, I wanted something new. People get bored really easily.
I used to wear this leisure suit 20, 30 years ago. Why are they back?
So the evolution aspect of it is one, start simple with your gamification, yeah. whatever you want to do there. Yeah. And slowly evolve, but you have to evolve. It has to be consistent growth.
Okay, it's an element.
If you wait too long, it can be detrimental because people get bored. And then when you go, hey, I have a new thing, they're like, well, and time's passed. Or if you do it too quickly, people go, oh, this is too complicated. I don't know what's going on. I'm not comfortable with it. So there's a nice little gray area there that you can walk. That's constant growth, consistent growth, but it's not so monumental that people aren't totally thrown by a new game mechanic where they're like, I don't play this game anymore.
Well, I can almost see putting DVI into a business as an evolution.
That is an evolution. Yeah. People aren't used to that. However, it's a fun game mechanic, right? It's a great way to keep in touch and engage people. That's an immersion right there. They are now owners of what's going on with their car. They're standing right beside you, being able to view the pictures of what's broken, being able to have a chat with the tech, all of that is now in their hands and they feel responsible. So if you read, there's a book called Gamify. They did a solution with kids who had physical issues. They were in pain a lot. And part of this medical study is they needed to monitor their pain levels. But the kids, they didn't want to. They're in pain. And now they have to take a test and you know, tell them, oh, my pain was on this during this day and they've got homework. And it's like, well, this sucks. So what they did is they brought in a game company to develop a game that was, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, they are now a detective. The kids play this game through their phone or through a tablet, and the detectives need to file reports that earn them points and badges in order for them to fight the pain crime unit or whatever. Sure. This now gave ownership to the kids. Now they were fighting alongside with the medical staff in figuring out how to beat this medical issue. So DVI, that's great. Use a DVI. That's a great form of gamification. That's immersion right there. You just got them involved in the process and people are much more willing to work with you if they feel ownership.
I love it. Immersion and evolution DVI could be. Now experimentation.
This is not for the game developer. This is actually for the people playing. So you've got X amount of actions that can happen. You've got X amount of, you know, you are determining what actions can be taken.
You, meaning?
The dev, okay. The game dev.
All right.
You're the one determining.
Wait a minute, let's stop that.
Okay.
The game dev, the owner of the shop.
Yes.
Okay.
You've gone and you've outlined, I want, you know, here's our event points. And again, we'll get to that. Here's our event points. Here's the number of actions that a customer can take. But the thing is, it's a string. It's not a straight line, right? Because if they take this action, then that branches out a whole new realm of other actions that they could take because they took that previous path.
Right.
So what I mean by experimentation is your game should allow for the players to try to break your system because it's fun. Game developers will open up their game and let, they actually have, so like Fortnite, you can be on the beta team and it's just a group of players who really love the game and they get to play test a version of the game that isn't out in the mass public. Right. And we've actually seen games evolve based on the restrictions that were given to them, how a player can play that the developer never thought could happen based on what they gave the player. So your game should allow for fun experimentation so that the player, say your service advisor is like, hey, I know that I have to call them within this timeline and I have to use this script and this is what I need to target with them. What if I did it a different way? Using the same mechanics, and I just kind of approach this in a unique way. Does this work better, right? So allowing for them to kind of use the rules and the restrictions you've given them to create a different type of experience.
Customers are always going to ask for something you never figured out. Is that what you're kind of saying? Because, and I also wrote down these words, nature will find a way, no matter how you think you got it right.
Exactly.
Just set a customer in front of you that has a completely different way to think about it.
So one is you're going to have it regardless. People are going to want to use the rules of the game to beat the game.
Mm-hmm.
Straightforward. If you run a discount promotion and you put in there that, you know, you you can redeem as many as you want, or it's not even listed that they couldn't redeem more than one.
I see.
And they come in with 10% off coupons. And they're like, well, it's 100% off. And you go, well, we can't do that. I was like, well, no, they can. You built the game so that they could play it that way. Whereas if you give them a discount coupon, I said you can only redeem one.
The experimentation's in the hands of the customer.
It is.
And you have to be aware of that.
You have to be aware of that. And which means that you need to be able to be flexible because people are going to experiment.
And you may even design the game or the coupon
or the
to
coupon
see what happens.
To see what happens. Yeah. Well, if I do design this without, you know, saying only they don't stack or only one per customer, what'll happen? Will more people do it? What if they do? What if they exploit this game system? What do I do for them? Right? It's kind of like the Willy Wonka with the golden ticket. He puts a golden ticket out there and he doesn't know what kid is going to get it, but he wants to see what they'll do.
Yeah.
And then he walks them through and all that.
Yeah. That is a great movie for experimentation. Great analogy. Thank you. I think he just landed that in our laps, the Willy Wonka golden coupon. Okay, what's next? Enjoyment.
For those people who know what Halo is, right, it was a video game series that started on Xbox. It was super big, big shooter. I think they're on like Halo 5 now or Halo 6. I stopped playing after 343 Industries took it. Their company, Bungie, who now develops a game called Destiny, which is a huge online play game. One of their company mottos is they measure success by awesome per second. When you're in the game, and this is how they built their games, they were taking a good look at how awesome is it for the player for every second they're playing the game. You know, oh, I used this grenade to launch it through an elevator launch thing and it stuck to another player on the other end and they ran into that tank and the tank exploded. They put the rules in, right? They've got this grenade that sticks. They've got a player who can run and they've got a tank in there that explodes when it gets hit with the grenade. Obviously.
And that's an awesome moment.
And that's an awesome moment. So they're like, okay, here's this moment. So when we talk about enjoyment and events, these two kind of pair up. So events are anything that can happen where the player has to make a choice or can get a result, right? So if I take said action, here's the consequence or result of said action.
Okay.
So if they go, well, that was really awesome. We enjoyed that experience. How do we make that happen more often? How do we, because we enjoyed that. That was fun. I can remember that. I can re-experience that. How do we set up our environment, our game, our culture to reestablish that sequence of events again? Say somebody comes in, their repair ticket ends up being, you know, they're quoted or estimated at $500.
Yeah.
The service advisor says, it's going to be $500 to do this service or repair. You know, that's what it's going to cost. And they go, okay, you know, I'll prove it and all that. They come in and he goes, you know what? Actually, we were able to do this and actually saved you some money and we can give you, you know, $25 off your ticket. Now, a smart business owner will build in that 10% contingency into their overall pricing and so that they've got that to play with so that they've under-promise, over-deliver.
Yep.
That's an experience. They come in and they get to pay less than what they thought they were going to pay. That's an event. That's an experience. And it's an enjoyable one.
Yep.
So the question now, how do we make that experience happen more often? What sequence of events needs to happen in order for us to create that experience again?
I remember interviewing someone. We always look for one free thing we could do on the car. We don't even tell the customer. It could be the washer solvent. It could be a bulb out. It could be scrub up the headlights. Get them looking good. And that's an enjoyment for probably the customer because he got something he wasn't planning on getting, but it was an event that you performed.
So another example could be the guy greeting you at the door.
Yeah.
That's some kind of an event that happens that creates a positive experience.
Absolutely.
So then you talk about combining these events. So there's milestones, right? What overall is our customer going to experience from they see an advertisement to us? They remember us when they have some kind of a maintenance or a repair issue.
Yeah.
They come to our store. We take their car. We go over it with them. We educate them on what we're going to do with their car. They accept it, approve it. We fix their car. They come, they pay, they leave. Then we follow up with them later. What does that overall experience add up to? What are our major milestones that we want to hit that create positive experiences in every single point? through their journey of working with our business.
Got it. You've really nailed it so far with all these E's, and there's one final one here, Kent. It's end game.
The end game.
And yes. And is that how we finish the transaction? How I feel?
So say somebody's gone and worked with you. They've gone through the whole main progression, their campaign, if you were to put it in gaming terms. Now what? Right? What ways are we going to continue to engage these players who beat the game, quote unquote? What do we want to do to get them involved, make it more creative? So if we're talking, right now we're working on, so you know our Advisor Mastery Program. I don't know, I've talked to you about it before. We implemented a ton of gamification with that. And we're working on our end game right now. Because right now it's a singular, it's just a campaign, right? A lot of games will have campaign and then they'll have multiplayer where you can continue to go back and experience fun events consistently.
Yep.
You know, so we enjoyed our campaign with the Advisor Mastery Program. But right now during this, you know, we keep running the campaign. People leave us after that year of being with us and they've jumped their performance through the roof. Well, now what's our end game? So we've been thinking, how do we re-engage them? How do we get them involved? We're talking about mentorship programs. We're talking about rewards points. We're building an online system that'll manage leaderboards and points. And
keep them engaged.
So the
end game for my customer is the follow-up call, is something that happens post-transaction.
Why not involve them in community? Say you're tight in with your community.
Yeah.
Your shop now has the opportunity to put on events or put on things that can help your community.
Got it.
Get your customers involved in that.
Well, it could be the fact that you're such a great customer. We're doing a STEM class for middle school. We want you to bring your child and engage them. I mean, there's things that are going on at my place. Our anniversary's coming up. So there's really no end game if we involve our customer, like you say, in the community, but in the business, because we're an entity in the community.
People experience. I mean, like they have expectations, right? They know you're going to go fix their car. That's what you do. They expect that. What they don't expect is for you to go, hey, we have this event where our shop is putting on a walk, and it's to raise money to help this school get materials for students who can't afford them.
Got it.
You being one of our customers, we know that you value the same things we do. We'd love for you to join us.
Yeah.
That's end game right there.
Yeah, I love it.
Right? That's for them to continue to experience that same feelings, the same feelings that they got when they worked with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because the transaction didn't feel like a transaction because
it's not a transaction. Right.
Yeah, you purposely designed it.
And it's an experience.
Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Thank you. Appreciate that. So there's the ease. Now, can you, in 5 minutes, tell us the story about Tom Lambert and this really cool idea?
I love how this all turned into marketing, which is fine. You can apply this anywhere else.
I get it.
So Tom, and I don't know if he intended it for it to be a gamification thing, but they ran an auction, and the way that the game was played is when a customer came in for this period of time, I think they did it for a month and a half, every dollar that they spent in repairing their vehicle added to their number of dollars that they can spend at this auction. Now, Tom got together with a bunch of local businesses that, you know, one of them had a grill, right? And so he asked them, hey, will you donate this grill as a marketing thing? We have a lot of the same kind of customers. So will you donate this grill to this auction? And we'll show that you participated and you volunteered this item.
So I get the grill. I put it in my showroom. Now I've got this beautiful Christmas type display, all this stuff going on.
Over a month and a half, the pile just started to amass. And every time a customer came in, they were like, well, what's that? And they go, oh, we're having an auction. Every dollar you spend with us, you get to then take, you know, a shade tree dollar and spend it in the auction.
Yeah.
So then at the end, they had this big event. They auctioned off. They brought an auctioneer in and it was an experience. However, during that whole time, they went back and people spent more than they would have. Their AROs went up because people went, oh, I'm going to spend a little bit more because then I'll get more money to spend in the auction.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that transmission.
Yeah, of course. Let's do that too. Yeah. You know, let's add it on there. That's a form of gamification.
100 more points.
Right? It was easy for them to go, oh, what's this? Yeah. Oh, you earn money.
Yeah.
Great. now I understand the rules of play. I understand how to play. Now present me with an opportunity. This is our engagement loop, right?
Yeah.
Here's the rules of play. Here's the game. Do you want to play? Of course I want to play. Let me do this service on top of all the services I need so I can get as much money back. Great. Here's the challenge. You beat the challenge. The reward is now you get to go spend that in the auction.
In the auction. You told me it was extremely successful. It was a brilliant
idea.
Very
successful.
And there's a really cool idea to share. So not only did we talk this, you know, incredible gamification, and I think you did a great job. I mean, you know, the whole video game thing and how you connected all, you know.
I was hoping I put it in enough terms that people could understand who weren't gamers.
Yeah, I'm not a gamer, but I understood. And you did well enough to explain it and then bring it back down to our reality. And then, of course, what I think Tom Lambert did, and he's been a great friend of the podcast, pretty smart guy, runs a great, great business. Wow. Would you come back with your next genius idea?
Oh, of course. You realize that's only about a fourth of the notes I wrote.
Yeah, I know. But that's okay. And like your dad, I know you could talk forever.
Yeah,
you could go on and on. Kent Bullard from the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence, thanks for coming in. And this is going to be a really good episode that people, I think, will listen to over and over again. Because
I'm hoping they enjoy it.
There's a lot in it. There's a lot in it. And there's a learning moment about every five or 6 minutes
It doesn't just apply to your marketing. It could apply to your management. It could apply to your systems and processes. It could apply to your personal life. I write a blog just on the side that's called Work Life Game, and I talk about gamification and life business and all of that. So
what I think this episode is about, you can't just listen to this thing once and think you got it, because I was so engaged with everything that Kent said. I'm here clinging to every word. And if you're out driving and you're listening to this, and even if you're exercising and you may have lost track of exactly what you may have to go listen to it again, what we'll do is we'll compile the, of course, talking points from Kent, and we'll put it in the show notes page if you want to go there and be able to, you know, copy, cut, and paste it and sit down with your team and do a meeting about this. Thanks, Kent.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Glad you're here, man.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.